Our following question is from Seth Wolf from Northcoast Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. Congrats, good quarter. I wanted to start, point of clarification. Did you say in the quarter the side-by-side sales were up 70%? Is this in 7-0 or was it 17?
7-0.
Cool. That's what I thought. Excellent. And then I guess, as you know, we think about the we think about retail demand going forward. It's clearly, you cannot sustain that pace. But is there any way you can kind of contextualize what you're seeing in terms of pre-sales, pre-orders, deposits, and how long that may continue with the pent-up demand for both the X3 and then now the X3 Max? And then speaking of the X3 Max, one of the issues I think that dealers have talked about is products have been great, but maybe it takes a little while to ramp production. So now that we're on the third significant new platform for side-by-sides, how would you characterize your ability to ramp production, you know, quickly?
Yeah, let me first explain the 70%. Obviously, there is many moving pieces here, difficult to weight each of them. But we introduced the X3 exactly at the right time for the Southwest market, where there is the peak of the season, and the product has been extremely well received. One of our main competitors, the leader in the sports side-by-side industry, had difficulties. And on top of it, we're still growing with the Defender every month. Then all of this combined end up with the 70 growth into the quarter. That being said, going forward, we introduced the four-seater in production, will be starting in April. The ramp-up will be very fast. April, May, some allocation. It's allocated. April, May production is on allocation. But in June, we can open up the valve. Then, and the dealer know that. Then we feel confident with our side-by-side growth in the coming years, because we will continue again to have more Defender model and more X3 models to fill all those sub-segments. And there is more to come this fall in the side-by-side business.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And then just to kind of follow up on an earlier point that was made about the competitive environment, it seems like he's kind of getting into the month of March specifically, and I know you don't want to get too granular, but have you seen anything with end market demand that has changed meaningfully given the fact that one of your major competitors has really intensified the promotional the promotions that are being offered both to dealers on the back end and then, you know, in the form of rebates to consumers?
Are you speaking off-road here?
Off-road, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. To be honest, we don't see it yet. Obviously, we are in March, and we don't have industry data, and industry data for side-by-side are more difficult. For ATV, we have it the following 15 of the month. Then, so far, I mean, we're happy with our momentum. We don't see a huge impact of those specific program. Obviously, it's a bit a transition period. February, March are months where there is a transition between in the snow belt between the snowmobile season and between the spring, the off-road and the watercraft season. But so far, I would say we don't have any indication that things have changed drastically.
Okay, that's great. And if I could sneak one more in just on the Spyder, when you look at the year-round products, you said that there's going to be a slight drag on sales due to the transition. I think you referred to it as a transition year with Spyder. I was wondering if you could quantify what impact that transition is going to have. And then secondarily, Could you remind us what your expectations for spider growth would have looked like if we were having this conversation a year ago?
Obviously, when you look at the overall year-round products growth, you're looking at a 6 to 10% growth for the product category, as Jose alluded to earlier in the call. Most of the growth is going to be carried by side-by-side. Roadster, as he indicated, is going to be flattish, coming from obviously the focus that we have on, yes, increasing retail year over year, but that retail is going to come from the depletion. That retail growth is going to come from depletion of inventory. We are still very optimistic about the spider business, and that's why we've put in place AO as Senior VP for Spider. We've seen growth in that industry for the past 4 years. We've seen more players enter into the three-wheel segment. And obviously, when you're creating a new industry, sometimes it takes more time to create that growth. And the best example of this is the side-by-side industry, which took several years before we saw the increase in growth that we've seen in the last 5 to 6 years. So it's a very good business for us. As we've said, it's over $300 million of revenue, and it's our job to spark that industry, as we're the ones who've created that industry, and that's what we're focused on. Obviously, we're not happy with a flattish revenue growth. Last year, we were conservative as well when we were talking about our expectations for Spider on a more short-term basis, but we are still very much committed to this spider business, and you'll see more news from us coming in the next years to make sure the right catalysts are there to grow it.
Okay, thanks go ahead. Dave, just going to say thanks for the clarification and the color on the year, and good luck.
Thank you.
Our following question is from Benoit Poirier from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen, and congrats for the very strong results. Just to come back on the color on the CapEx expectation for fiscal 18, obviously you mentioned that a good portion would be related to product innovation. So could you mention whether it's if it's all related to existing product lines?
Hi, good morning, Benoit. Obviously, I'd love to give you a lot of detail. I know you like our products a lot, but you will understand that for confidentiality reasons, I cannot go into that specificity. But as usual, we'll continue to surprise the market with great product introductions. So stay tuned.
Okay, perfect. And just on the free cash flow side, Sébastien, obviously a pretty strong quarter. But this was also partially driven by a positive contribution of about $100 million driven by working capital item. So just looking at fiscal 18, obviously you look to grow the revenue. So how should we be thinking about the working capital variation under the free cash flow line?
Yeah, we'll still be growing our business next year, as you saw through the guidance. And when you're growing, that calls for investments in working capital. And we're growing in North America, but we're also growing in international. Personal watercraft has had good growth and is going to continue to grow. And because personal watercraft is a counter-season product for most of the markets and international, that's why we need to do a bit of heavy lifting on the working cap, and we'll continue to see some investments next year on working cap because of that transition year for international markets.
Could you quantify roughly what could be the range on the utilization, on the usage?
Oh, you could you could be in the range of, let's say, between $50 and $100 million of investment in working cap, Benoit.
Okay, that's pretty good. And when we look at your balance sheet, obviously 1.2 debt EBITDA, also strong free cash flow prospect for the year. You've been talking about M&A and also potential new product lines. Obviously, very sensitive information. But what could be the timing on that? And also, is there other cash deployment opportunities that could be used?
Yeah, obviously, as you said, good cash flow generation last year. We're going to still continue to generate good cash flow next year. And as we've been public for now 4 years almost, we've been a standalone company for a little over 14 years, and our priority is always to maximize shareholder value. We do that, one, through investing a lot of CapEx and coming out with great products and winning market shares and increasing industries. As you, we've also announced the renewal of the NCIB, so our intention is to buy back stock again this year. When I look at the overall PE ratios, EV/EBITDA ratios of BRP versus the type of growth we're generating, obviously I'm disappointed at the multiples that we're getting. And so when we're going to look at deploying cash, well, is how do we make sure we deliver that strong returns to shareholders? So all the options are still out there. These are discussions we're having on a quarterly basis with the boards. And for now, nothing is excluded to drive or to continue to drive shareholder value.
Okay. And with respect to the shot system, 20 pounds seems a lot on the snowmobile. So I'm just wondering what type of feedback you've received so far, and could we see the potential implementation of the shot system into other product lines, given the weight saving?
You know their stuff very well, Benoit. Again, very, very word of mouth, because right now we are into the spring promotion sales for snowmobile, where dealer take pre-order from customers, and the what we're hearing, it's a high ratio of customer is buying the shot system, which I truly believe it's a big customer benefit for deep snow rider because of the 20 pound and the facility. Now, you need to understand that shot was developed around the E-Tech technology, which is very easy to start. To start an E-Tech engine, you need to turn the crankshaft only by one third. I'm a bit specific here. And that's why shot can be applied on E-Tech, but would not be applicable on four stroke. Then we'll expand it definitely on more snowmobile E-Tech engine. But we cannot put it on four-stroke.
That's very, very good caller. Okay, and on the snowmobile side, you mentioned good caller about the inventory level, obviously, and your confidence that you can reduce the inventory at the retail level in fiscal 18. But just wondering, what is the percentage of the inventory increase that could potentially be driven by software economy as opposed to snow-related?
We, on snowmobile, managing year-end inventory is very important. Last year, we finished the year very, very low in inventory. We believe about half of what two of our main competitors in the snowmobile industry had. And that's why we've lost market share in the non-current, because they had many to sell into the season. This year, our non-current inventory will be probably about twice of last year, bigger number than last year, but manageable, like Sébastien explained. And the only way to reduce it is to have, let's say, to have programs, attractive program for the consumer, and to make sure we reduce shipment of model year 18. Then that's why in our guidance we affected the seasonal product guidance, because we planning to ship less snowmobile in fiscal year 18 than in 17, because we want to make, we're planning first for an average winter and want to make sure to deplete that inventory.
Okay, so you're basically also facing a tough compare versus last year.
on the snow, yeah.
Yeah, okay, perfect, perfect. And last one for me, can you make some comments about the transaction we saw with Arctic Cat and Textron? What are the key takeaways and how it could impact the landscape in your view?
No comments, Benoit. I mean, Textron is a good company. The question is what will be the focus for Arctic Cat and how they will be like synergies will be created there. Too early to say, but too many. I don't want to speculate on this.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our following question is from Martin Landry from GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My question, just want to know if you could brush a picture of your end markets in terms of a geographic breakdown to see a little bit what trends you're seeing domestically with Western Canada, also in the U.S. and internationally, that'd be very useful.
Yeah, good morning, Martin. Russia stable to what we had last year. Slight growth, continued growth in Western Europe, which is where we are quite strong. Brazil, flattish versus last year. Australia, growth. And Mexico, quite a good growth in the off-road business. In Canada, if I look to Western, the market, I would say, is flattish versus last year. It's significantly down versus what it was before the oil price reduction and the ag situation, but I would say right now it's flattish versus last year. In the oil state, it's, I would say, all over the place. When you look, there is six states that are dependent of oil. There is some that are up. There is some that are down. It's very, very difficult to follow the trend there. But overall, if you look at the U.S. market, the situation is I would say stable if you look at the U.S. and I would comment the same for Canada when you look at the overall.
Okay, that's useful. And then, what's the state of the U.S. customer right now? You know, are you seeing good traffic in the stores? Are you seeing an increase in credit usage? What are you seeing right now?
But what we're hearing from dealers, the traffic is quite good. You know, our customers, they are many of our customers are enthusiastic about the U.S. administration, and they believe the U.S. economy will be good going forward, and they are confident about economy overall, and the traffic is quite good. One thing that is interesting, boat show traffic was up so far, if you accumulate all of this, by about 7%, but our number of leads at boat show is up significantly. There is a lot more. It seems that the traffic is a bit up, 7%, but the number of people who are really interested and want to have follow-up with the dealer or with us, it's quite high. Then it feels quite good to be in the watercraft business and the outboard business right now.
And on the retail financing side, we're seeing approval rates in the range of 60%, similar to last year, and the take rates on these are in the at 29%, which is flat versus a year ago. So we're not seeing any modifications in the trends there.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. Our following question is from Tim Condor from Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. This is actually Mark Tarenti on for Tim. Great execution on the quarter and with the new products. Just wanted to get a little more color on the promotional environment. It seems that promotional dollars were a bit more skewed towards the higher priced year-round products. But across your lineup, where are you seeing the greatest promotions on a percentage basis, and how do you expect this to change going forward, and what are you seeing in terms of industry promotions?
Yeah, the like I said before, the on the side-by-side business, more competition because of a lot new product introduction, and some OEMs, some North American OEM are very heavy on discounting because they have too much inventory. On the ATV front, I would say that promotions are similar to last year, and with the same type of promotion we had last year, we're continuing to outperform the industry. On snow this year overall, promotion was slightly lower than last year overall. And watercraft is similar to last year so far. It's very early in the season, similar to last year, and same thing for spider.
Okay, great. And then what are your expectations for the overall promotional environment going forward?
Well, it's tough to call. Obviously, we don't have full visibility as to what our competitors have in inventory, and what usually drives the promotional activity is, are you stuck with non-currents or units that are not moving or aged? And that's going to influence the heightened level of promotion that they have, not as clean inventory. It's been an industry that's always been competitive. The ORV industry is an industry with a lot more non-current inventory that are retail during a given season. And so we expect the momentum there to continue. And on the seasonal side of the business, well, it depends on weather patterns and the level of inventory that is left at the end of a season. So on PWC, we're not expecting any changes versus what we had last year, as us and Yamaha have pretty clean inventory. And on snowmobile, as we said, we believe that it's going to be more intensive in terms of promotion because of the tough season we had and the other OEMs had. But that's just part of the game. And once the inventories are stabilized, then it's going to come back to normal.
Okay, great. And then just one more. It sounds like you guys are pretty comfortable on channel inventory levels apart from snowmobiles. Just looking forward, what are you sort of targeting on a year-over-year basis throughout the year?
Yeah, obviously, given that we're going to be starting off with the year with more snowmobile inventory, I'm expecting to the first half of the year to have more inventory in the network than last year. You're probably looking at mid to high single digit. And as the year progresses, we should be seeing some inventory reduction in the network, but we're not in the high, we're not in the double digit inventory reduction. You're probably in the mid or more low single digit inventory reduction. But that's all okay. Dependent on how retail is going. PWC season is going to be a factor for the second half of the year, and obviously snowmobile next year is also going to be a factor.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our following question is from Cameron Dorfson from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Just really a couple of quick questions for me. I just want to make sure I understand, I guess, the quarterly progression on EBITDA for, you know, that's in your guidance. If I understand correctly, sort of expecting the Q1 to be maybe similar to last year, but Q2 is where you're going to see all of the H1 increase, relative to last year. Is that the right way to look at it?
That's fair, yes. That's the right way to look at it.
And why is Q2 so much better than last year or previous years?
Well, we're going to be shipping some of the new products that we announced. The Maverick Max X3 is going to be shipping in Q2. And the demand for that product is good today, so we're expecting that to lift the second quarter. And that's going to be the main driver. Obviously, PWC as well, there's probably going to be some carryover from Q1 into Q2. So we're seeing a lift there. So that would be the main elements.
Okay. And maybe just secondly, just on the, I guess, the dealer expansion that it's, I guess, largely complete at this point, I'm just wondering what the impact of kind of a slowdown on that front has on your overall costs. I assume there would be some costs associated with trying to sign up new dealers that maybe you're not going to have anymore. Is that fair?
No. We will there was some costs, but we will continue to invest not on opening new dealers, but helping all those dealers to get better. Then we're shifting the first. There will be always some adjustment ups and down in North America, but the focus will be to continue to make sure we're gaining traction in multi-line dealers, being more in their face, and on top of it, continue to help all the dealers that are below average to go to average.
Okay, no, that makes sense. That's all for me. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Cameron.
Thank you. Our last question is from Robin Farley from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks. A couple of quick questions. One is, with the 70% increase in side-by-side retail in Q4, where would you say your market share is for Q4? And I know it's just to try to get a sense of such a large increase, kind of where that puts you just ballpark now.
Like we said, Robin, a few times, our market share in the sports side-by-side right now is about double to what it was before the introduction of the X3, but it's quite new. In Q4, we double our market share, it's a quarter. On the side-by-side, on the Defender side, it's a constant increase month or quarter after quarter on the market share increase, and it's in the sport side by side, when you come with the right product, you have a spark. The customer knows about it and they buy right away. In the utility, it takes more time. But what I like about the trend is the trend on the Defender is month after month we see increase. Then, like we said, when we started the new side by side program, you know, a new side by side every 6 months for the next 4 years. We said that we intended to double our market share in the midterm. We are halfway there right now, and I believe it's very realistic that we will double our market share in the midterm. Then we're in the range of 10% globally, and the goal is still to become the strong number two in the side-by-side business, and we're going there.
And I'm sorry, so just to understand, if you were saying your goal is to double the market share and you're halfway there now, so that is that fair to say 15% globally is your market share right now?
Well, we don't disclose market share, Robin. And as José said, our objective is to become a solid number two player. It's not something which is going to happen overnight. We've got great results in Q4. We're making sure that we sustain that market share growth quarter after quarter, but we prefer not to comment market shares.
Sure. So just to let me ask it this way, because I guess all I was trying to clarify was that the comment that you did say about the 10% global market share, that was the starting point for your side-by-side market circle.
Yeah.
Okay. No, great. I just wanted to clarify that. Thanks. And then I'm just curious, your parts and accessories growth was not up as much as your year-round or seasonal product growth. I'm just wondering if there's anything to sort of understand about that.
Nothing too specific to understand. Obviously, our parts business, a lot of it or a significant part of it comes from the snowmobile industry. And given that the riding season was short last year and this year, obviously that impacted demand for parts accessories during Q4. And that's why the growth hasn't necessarily been at the pace that it was versus the units.
Okay, great. And then just my final question, do you have a dealer growth target for the year ahead? I know you. It sounds like you've hit the target you set out, kind of your three-year goal. Just wondering if there's a one-year or two-year target now from here forward.
No, as José mentioned, we're comfortable with the number of dealers we have today. Now the objective is leveraging that dealer base and making them more and more performant. And that's where the focus is going to be, and we're going to be working with our dealers to bring in more tools, better tools, in order to make them more efficient at selling BRP products.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Back to you, Mr. Deschamps.
Thank you, Mo.
And thanks, everyone, for your time this morning and for your interest in BRP. We look forward to speaking with you again for our first quarter of fiscal 2018 results on June 1st. Thanks again, everyone, and have a good day.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.